Actually, I'm going to do this one. We're more civilized. We're more civilized because it's just a CCN. This ain't no rock show. Although that's some pretty rocking music.
I was about to say, Chris, have you listened to the music that we're listening to right now? Are you hearing this?
Music's pretty good. It's pretty rocking. Got some hopes fall for you. Thanks for downloading. This is a CCN for November 2014 bonus episode. Cinema Crest Vista bonus episode. This is the one where we're not talking about movies. Though, I'm going to say right now up front, we may end up talking about a couple movies here and there.
It happens from time to time.
Towards the end, there's some things. I might just jump the gun on some of the movie news here and give it to you in the CCN. But that's fine. It's my show. I do whatever I wish. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Drew Sagogmer and Drew.
What up?
Look at the wild applause.
God damn. Are they really that excited to hear my voice?
They are.
I hate the sound of my voice. Why do they like it so much?
People love the sound of your voice.
I highly doubt that.
They don't even know. Well, actually, Drew, truth is, you don't listen to the show.
No.
I know you. Yeah, you don't. You don't, because you're complaining about the sound of your voice. You don't listen to the show.
I hate it.
If you went back and listened, you'd find out that I actually, like, T-Pain auto-tune that shit.
Oh, really?
Sometimes you're singing, when you're talking, you're actually singing songs. Other times, you sound like Barry Manilow. Other times, I make you sound straight up like a woman. It's amazing, the things you can do with these programs. Yeah, post-production. It's incredible. Yeah.
It is.
So you never sound like yourself.
Sweet.
You should give the show a listen sometimes. You know, like, for instance, this one, I can make it sound like I'm talking to all the members of the Black Eyed Peas.
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting. That's a lot of work. I'm not going to do that. All right, so hey, let's get this show started. We got a couple things to talk about. Just a few things that, you know, there's some things going on in the cultural zeitgeist. And I might as well throw in my two cents because, you know, not everyone follows me on Twitter. Some of you don't use Twitter.
And they should.
Well, some people just don't use Twitter. But yes, you should, at I am Chris Crespo. Follow Juicer on Twitter, at antihero419. Email the show at cinemacrespo@gmail.com.
Yeah, I can't say that everyone should get on Twitter, because I really don't use it that much.
Yeah, and it's not for everyone. You know what? A lot of people that are on Twitter should get off it.
Agreed.
There's a lot of people whose opinions we don't need out there. You can keep your opinions to yourselves. Okay, well, first off, yeah. So, I get a lot of my shit on Twitter. I was on a lot of Twitter happenings going on today. We'll be talking about Twitter a lot.
Some twappenings.
There were some... What?
The twappening?
The twappening?
It's twappening.
Is that when a bunch of celebrity nudes get leaked on Twitter only?
Sure.
The twappening. Well, first off, we talked about this last month's CCN because it was, like, fresh. It was hot.
Wicked fresh.
Now, it's a month later. We can, you know, just to follow up on that story, 60-minute style, we can now conclude allegedly, definitively, that Bill Cosby is a rapist.
Yes.
He's a rapist!
You know, 15, 20 women, he may or may not have...
16. 16 have come out so far.
Drugged and then...
Drugged and raped them while they were... 16 women have come out. 12 of them have had the drugging scenario. A 13th said he tried to drug her, which means, I guess, she caught him.
Or she didn't take said drugs.
Which means then the other four were just straight up like, he just forced me to do things. Which is...
pretty awful.
It's icky. It's bad. Bill Cosby is a rapist.
Yes.
Parentheses, allegedly. But when there's 16 people coming out, spanning decades, telling pretty much the same story, right?
Yeah.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of smoke in this one.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of smoke coming out of that chimney there.
And it's not like Mr. Cosby's doing, you know, the greatest job of trying to quell this.
Yeah, first off, he doesn't say anything. His lawyer just comes out and keeps, like, saying that, old allegations, we've already debunked them, disproven, et cetera, et cetera. Though nothing has ever been debunked or disproven.
No, it's just been settled out of court.
Yeah, they just say that it has been. A few of them been settled out of court. And then you know what's also happening? This is more interesting, almost.
I mean, that whole meme fiasco.
That was
quite possibly the most hilarious thing I've ever seen in my entire
life.
That's
a problem. That's a shame that things happen to have such a short lifespan, because that only lasted like a day and it was gone. I could have gone for more Cosby memes. Hashtag Google hashtag Cosby meme. And literally it has to be hashtag Cosby meme, but you'll get them.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a bad... You read the stories about it. It's
it was hilarious. Well, I mean, you look at it and you think, you know, there are basically two ways of going about it. You're either going to get the happy cat memes, mm-hmm. you know, where mm-hmm. it's, oh, Bill Cosby has a silly face. He dropped something. Oh, isn't that funny? Look how cute Bill Cosby is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or you're going to go with what happened, where people just put the fact that he raped people oof. On pictures of him. It was like,
pictures of making
I raped
faces.
You in a pudding pop.
Yeah, it's
like, whoa. Yeah, I mean, can't say didn't see that one coming.
Now what's coming out also, I don't know if you heard about this, but now there are reporters, like, first off, there, like, someone, who is it? This dude, I think his name is David Carr, works for the Times, New York Times, Washington Post, one of, like, the major newspapers that's, you know, covertly run by the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
He put out an article about how chastising the media and his fellow media brothers and sisters, and he included himself very specifically in allowing Cosby to get by for so long without questioning the allegations. And he had a specific example where he was paid to interview Bill Cosby like 5 or 6 years ago for Airplane magazine. So it was like a fluff piece, obviously, yeah. right? But then this, even though it was a fluff piece, he wrote that as a journalist, which he considers himself, he should not have taken that assignment because he knows that he wouldn't be even allowed to ask about the allegations, and it's not expected to be in that magazine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but he agreed to do it. He took the money, and then he wrote a nice little piece about him for his magazine that made him seem like such a great guy when he knew the whole time that there was allegations out there. And then other people have since come out with like similar mea culpas.
Yeah.
Most only the guy who wrote a biography on him very recently and had a lot of access to him. Not a word in the biography about the allegations. He just came out and he was like, oh, now I really regret not doing that. Obviously not. Everyone's like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
you could have been the guy who broke the story when you were doing his autobiography.
Or, yeah, you could have been the guy who's like, oh, shit, you actually did the legwork on this one. You knew that shit was out there. And it was serious, and he totally chose to not, you know, include even a word
mm-hmm.
about it. So a lot of people are getting called out on that, and a lot of people are coming out and be like, "Oh, my bad, Bill. Yeah, we should have called him."
Yeah, you're right. Totally, you're bad.
This one reporter worked for the Associated Press in the '90s. May still work there. 1992 was assigned to interview Bill Cosby. He dominated the whole interview, and this is a running thing. Apparently, he dominates interviews by giving 15-minute answers mm-hmm. that ramble and really don't make any sense, and then he can't use that anyway. Her whole little AP article, which then you can find online, and I read the whole thing. The whole thing was about how, at that time in 92, how intense Bill Cosby was and how he was controlling the environment. And at one point, and this is in the article, he tells her, we're going to see how this goes. You know, give me what your questions are. And, you know, if I don't like it, I'll give you a piece of fruit from the fruit basket and you'll be on your way. You'll be out of here, right? So then a week after the article comes out in the AP, she gets a package at AP headquarters addressed to her. She opens it up. It's a withered old apple wrapped up in a paper towel, and Bill Cosby had signed the paper towel.
So I guess he didn't like it.
Very, very weird. Another reporter said how when he wrote something that Cosby didn't like, he got a package from him that the only thing I remember it included was a tin beggar's cup. And apparently, found out later, this guy found out that either Cosby's publicist or his law office, whoever he hired, somebody he hired to take care of that shit, they kept a cache of tin cups to mail to people that Cosby didn't like. That
nice.
Cosby felt like crossed him. He's been this way for a long time.
Weird guy.
He's been a weird, intense, kind of a bad dude behind the scenes, and everyone just let it go.
And he rapes chicks, too.
And then, that's part of it. That's part of it. So, Bill Cosby is a rapist. Which is a damn shame. So on Twitter, a lot of Twitter today has been all about this whole Ferguson thing.
Hashtag Ferguson.
Hashtag Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just go this one. Try to get this one pretty quickly because I don't know. It's there's plenty of Ferguson shit out there, but I do want to say officially it's fucked up, but not exactly for the reasons people think. The grand jury came back with no indictment for the police officer. A lot of people are putting out this stat about how from 2010 to 2012 or 2013, there's been 165,000 grand jury trials in federal grand jury trials. Only 11 of them have ever come back with no indictment. When I was in college, I took a lot of pre-law classes. I had one teacher who one of his most favorite sayings ever was, "You can indict a paper bag."
Mm-hmm.
Getting an indictment is the easiest thing in the world. You'd have to not want to indict them. All an indictment means is that someone, the jury is like, oh yeah, there's a reasonable enough amount of evidence here to warrant an actual trial.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the trial. The trial is the next phase. This is just them saying like, oh.
You know what? Maybe he should be charged.
Oh, you know what? There's one piece of evidence here? Yeah, okay. I mean, that's literally all it takes. Like one conflicting testimony, conflicting witness accounts. The smallest little fucking thing will result in an indictment. But here's the thing. That's for federal grand juries. For us, good old citizens.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be hard-pressed to find many indictments for police officers who kill people in the line of duty.
Correct.
There's an insane amount of police officers. None of them ever get indicted.
Nope.
So that's one thing you got going. Police are... And it's because, you know, law enforcement, they're in a tough field. They're expected to draw their weapon and get into things like that. So, but still... The rate of non-indictment is way too high. That's insane. In Ferguson over there, that's St. Louis County, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they fall under St. Louis County DA,
mm-hmm.
Whatever. So you got the prosecutor over there. There's a guy, Bill McCullough.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, boy, this guy. And then there's this other fella. Ooh, I wish I could remember his name. But this he's like the head of the ethics committee or there's something going on there, super high up. But he was fired from one police department in St. Louis for lying on reports, repeatedly lying on his reports and showing misconduct, you know, unprofessional of a police officer. But he still got hired in other precincts in the same town.
Sweet.
And now he's on like some board that oversees, you know, all the cops. He's not exactly IA, but he's in some crazy high position of authority.
Seems like the worst person for that job.
It's like National Lampoon's Mad Magazine. It could only be true because it's so absurd. McCullough, meanwhile, he's been on record before with other cases where, you know, black people get killed and then he calls the people that get killed, he just calls them bums. And he's like, alludes to how it, you know, it doesn't matter as much when people like that get killed and shit. He's had some very questionable comments and actions in the past. And it's all turned into this big perfect storm where McCullough is a prosecutor, this other dude working within the department, Governor Jay Nixon, you know, the type of guy who deploys the National Guard before the riots. Because at that point, it's, you know, when are you inciting a riot?
Yeah.
When are you sending the people in there with the gas mask and the shotguns and the military gear? Because they did it again. They still were sending the tanks and the tear gas. It was like those first nights all over again. They wanted it to happen. They pushed it to happen. Yeah, by the looks of it, you know. Although, it did result in this sweet, sweet picture of like a line of cops in SWAT gear, like across the street, and it's like super dark and shadowy and crazy looking. Looks like straight out of like The Purge 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then above them, stretched across above them, Season's Greetings.
Season's Greetings is right.
It looks so like an 80s dystopian movie still. Like this is like the perfect John Carpenter movie that never got made right here.
Except
it's happening in real life and it's actually pretty horrible.
Yeah.
I gotta find some solace in something. So it's not just that, you know. I mean, the whole system is rigged against you. Ooh, what was the quote? Someone put out a quote, a W.E.B. Du Bois quote about how... just the system's fucked.
The system is fucked.
But I saw another person. They had a protester. Their sign said the system isn't broken. It works just fine. It just did its job. I.e., the system is set up to, you know, four white people, four cops, put down, you know, against the poor especially. And you know,
at this point in time, minorities. I mean, a lot of people think it is, and when stuff like this happens, it kind of proves that, you know, maybe it is. Maybe the system is horribly skewed.
Maybe it is. We'll get into that in a second. But this reminds me because I was on Twitter. Someone tweeted me today because I was just on Twitter. I was retweeting pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I retweeted like a picture from because there was rioting and looting. I don't know if there was looting, but there was rioting in Ferguson last night. Buildings got burned and shit. Businesses got burned. And there are pictures of that out there. And then, you know, the cops and the heavy presence and shit. So I tweeted out some of those pictures. Retweeted pictures of a whole group of people with a news van flipped over in the front. No cops to be found. And it said, oh, here's another picture of last night's rioting. Oh, wait, no. This is when Joe Paterno was fired from Penn State. And then here, there's another one. It's a picture of a whole bunch of people. There's a car completely overturned, and they were like walking over it, and there's just people everywhere. And it's like, here's another picture from last night's. Oh wait, no, this was the pumpkin festival last month in New Hampshire, because that went to shit. Apparently, some big pumpkin. You hear about that?
No.
There's some huge pumpkin festival up. Actually, do you remember John Oliver on his show? He was talking about the money that goes to all the different departments, the police departments. And there's that one about the people for the pumpkin festival were asking for extra money because they thought there'd be a terrorist threat.
What?
You don't remember that?
No.
On a last week tonight episode. Anyway, for some reason, those people, I don't know, there wasn't enough cider or enough pumpkin. All those white people flipped out and turned it into a fucking riot. No tear gas, no rubber bullets, no nothing. There's a bunch of things like that, you know. What was the other one? Oh, the best one. There's a whole fucking like car was on fire and people were around it and it was crazy. And I was like, here's a picture from the riots. I said, oh, wait, no, this is when the San Francisco Giants won the World Series. All these things in like the last month and a half, 2 months, you know? Well, yeah. Paterno was a little while ago. But still. What was the difference between those pictures and the ones in Ferguson? I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's the
police presence.
The police presence and the color of the skin of the people.
It's not even necessarily the police presence. I mean, it looks more like the military presence.
They do look like a military, right?
It looks like the army's there.
And the system is indeed rigged. Because I got the proof of it right here. Let me show you what I got, Drew. Yeah, you got that picture there? You see the season's greeting picture?
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
That happened. That's
awesome.
That's a real thing. It looks like an awesome John Carpenter movie, but it's a real thing. The system is rigged. You know how I know? Because I read Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow. I want to talk about... I'm segueing now into... book review. I'm doing a segu into a book of review. I did this a while ago. I think like 5 months ago. Talk about the books I read so far in 2014. I'm going to now talk about the books I've read since then. Segue from the heavy shit into some more, you know, lighter talk. And hopefully the rest of the show will be a little more fun, a little more enjoyable. Because this is some heavy shit. Bill Cosby's a rapist. Ferguson's insane. Well, not Ferguson's insane. The system's insane. The New Jim Crow, Michelle Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a while ago on the Facebook, saw a picture of three maps of the United States.
Trace
maps. The first one was, the only thing that was highlighted in the map was all the states where slavery was legal.
Mm-hmm.
The next map, only states that were highlighted were all the states that had Jim Crow laws.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third map was the 2012 presidential electorate map.
All of it looked kind of the same?
They were 100% identical. All three of them. 100% identical. Every single state. Slavery, Jim Crow, Republican, conservatism, so on. Even though it started with Democrats, it was flipped back then. Still don't know how that happened.
Politics are weird.
Politics are weird. Fucking politics. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why... those states are like that, and why that it's been the same way for years. It's just being called different things. The New Jim Crow is about how following, you know, the Jim Crow laws were struck down in the 50s and 60s and 70s with mm-hmm. the Civil Rights Movement, et cetera, et cetera. This is a way... there was a way the government found, and it's like the book... they didn't even say if it's... on purpose or how they did it, who got together. It's just the way it is, okay? Basically, Jim Crow, cut down. Desegregated.
Yes.
Whites and blacks can now co-mingle legally, right? Mm-hmm. Which is insane. That was only like 60 or 70 years ago. That's when someone came up with the whole law and order rhetoric. I think that was actually Nixon. Nixon was hitting law and order pretty hard. And how...
dun dun.
Crime in the streets and inner city crime was seen as like the new red menace of America, and law and order must be preserved. So law and order became a big thing. Dun dun. And then simultaneously, the war on drugs,
mm-hmm.
which you know we all know we're smart, reasonably smart adults here. We know the whole drug. Illegalization in America was always done in terms of race. You know, opium was made illegal because the Asians were into it. Marijuana because the Mexicans and the blacks were into it, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. White people love their cigarettes and their
alcohol.
Alcohol was illegal for a while, too.
Yeah, that didn't last very long.
That didn't last very long. And then instead it gave birth to organized crime and NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
Two very...
Yeah.
Well, maybe they have it. Anyway. War on drugs. Law and order. These things...
Dun-dun.
Dun-dun. Work together to put a heavy emphasis on drug crimes.
Yes.
Which then... They use disproportionately against people of color.
Yes.
To the point where some insane number. And all that's the thing with this book. All the numbers, the citations, it's all here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I'm estimating here, you can read the book for yourself and you get the actual numbers. Something like 75 to 80% of drug arrests are Hispanics or blacks.
Yeah.
As opposed to whites.
Yes.
Does that mean... 75 to 80% of the drugs are consumed by blacks or white, Hispanics and blacks?
No, it's actually the other way around. It's consumed by the whites. It's just sold by the Hispanics and blacks.
Just sold by them. It's sold in the poor communities. And then here's what happens. Here's the new Jim Crow. You go into the system. You get busted for your weed. You know, maybe you have a certain amount where they can put you in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
You're a felon. You come out of prison. Apply for a job. What do you got to do? Apply for housing.
Can't get one.
What else do you need? I need a loan.
Can't get it.
I need...
You need to vote.
I need to be able... I need to vote.
Can't.
So, oh, damn it. Can I get a library card?
Nope. Well, probably.
I think I can still get a library card.
Maybe.
So I can. So now my options are I'm homeless and I can use my library card to use the computer.
Correct.
To find a Kevorkian to help kill me for free, because now I'm a felon, and you know now my life is fucking controlled.
Yeah,
when you're a felon, your life is controlled. Then by most of your rights are taken away. The government keeps tabs on you. You can't move up. You're no longer upwardly mobile. So now you hit up segment of the population, a specific segment, and you make a whole bunch of them felons, and then you stick them in neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods. What's gonna happen?
Crime.
You got people that have no other options, no education. Now what's happening, I love this. This just happened in Pennsylvania. They are shutting down like 20 schools. They're shutting down like 20 schools throughout Pennsylvania because they're short like $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to shut down about 20 schools, reroute a bunch of people. Of course, most of these schools are very heavy black.
Yep.
Populations and no coincidence. And then no coincidence that Pennsylvania also simultaneously approved. Somehow they need that $300 million over here, but somehow they have this $400 million over here to build a sweet new prison. Like, this is straight out of like the worst written dystopian fiction ever.
So instead of spending money on schools, we're just going to spend money on prisons to house all the people that aren't going to school anymore.
Yes. Dude, but the system is so rigged. Well,
you see, at this point in time, prison is for profit.
Yes.
So they're making money off of that prison, and they're losing money on the school.
Yes, thank you, Drew. Yes, that is another huge part of the new Jim Crow, the privatization of prisons.
The for-profit prison system is the scariest thing I could ever think of.
John Oliver, shout out to this guy.
You're telling me that somehow you've weaseled away to make money?
Yeah.
By sending people to jail.
By incarcerating people, which is why now America has the highest rate of incarceration per person, per rate. Shout out to John Oliver. He did a whole thing on private prisons, which is great.
And really scary at the same time.
Yeah, definitely look that up. It's so they get so deep into it, it's awesome. The one thing that they pulled out that I loved was how their shareholder material, someone leaked that out there. And there was a part in there where they talk about a great reason to invest in our prison because of the high recidivism rate of our prisoners, which means they're like, we don't give a fuck about rehabbing these people or trying to get them out of there. They're coming back. We're going to keep their bed warm for them. We have projections. We can say that our beds are going to be filled through these many fiscal quarters.
Yeah. It's really fucking scary.
It's scary is the word. That's the new Jim Crow. It's a system set up against minorities disproportionately, being fed into a for-profit prison system intent on keeping these people as a revolving door, coming back, because they get the money for it. And they get the ones that do get spit out and manage to stay out, find themselves back in the government system. That's just putting them down.
That screwed them, and in all reality, back in the system that screwed them to begin with.
Yeah.
Because in all reality, these people probably grew up in the government system anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Because it's gone back. Because it goes back to slavery. And subsequently, after slavery, the government has stepped in to try to, quote, fix things. But their idea of fixing things was Reconstruction, which didn't work. Jim Crow.
Didn't work.
And now, Law and Order, War on Drugs.
Doesn't work.
Now we have Ferguson. Saw a poll pretty recently on the interwebs. It was public. I forgot the name of the polling company that did it. Something like, when asked, is there a race problem in this country? 30% of whites said yes versus 70+% of blacks. It's because, you know, white people don't see that. They don't see it. It's not there. Brothers and sisters getting shot down in the streets.
It all depends on who you are.
It does depend on who you are.
And where you
live. That's why there are 30% of whites. It's not 100% of whites say there isn't a problem. There's still, you know, a third of them out there like, yeah, shit's fucked up.
Yeah,
how can you say it isn't? But a lot of people still say it is. I highly recommend people check out Michelle Alexander's New Jim Crow. It's the one nonfiction thing that I've read this year. I'm mostly a fiction guy. A lot of people want to hate on fiction.
The nonfiction.
But, you know, you can go both ways. Actually, no, that's not true. I forget that, you know, autobiographies count as nonfiction. Right?
Right.
Yeah, you count them as nonfiction, of sorts. Right? I guess it depends on who wrote it or how it's written. I've read, all right, there's this dude, a Norwegian fellow. His name is Carl Ove Knausgård. Ove. Carl Ove, O-V-E. Two words. Knausgård. And he, all right, I was walking through Barnes & Noble. He goes, you know, I'm old school like that. I like the feel. I like books, right?
Right.
And I saw, it was just sitting there. I just grabbed it, flipped it over. Book two. My Struggle, Book 2 by Carl Ove Knausgård, and I read the very first thing on the back of the book, and it says right here, I'm just going to read it. Why would you read a 6-volume, 3,600-page Norwegian novel about a man writing a 6-volume, 3,600-page Norwegian novel? The short answer is that it is breathtakingly good, and so you cannot stop yourself. It would not want to. Arrestingly beautiful. That's Leland de la Durantaya, the New York Times Book Review. Pretty compelling little sell right there.
If you say so.
Very meta. Dude, the dude's right. It's about...
He wrote a book about writing the book he's writing?
So I went out. I went over. I found book one, right? And then I just went over to the cafe. I got a coffee and I sat down. I just started reading. I was like, let's see if it's really that good. And then I was like, just reading. I'm reading. Before I know, I'm like 30 pages in. And then I stop and look. I'm like, oh shit! I've been here for an hour.
Yeah,
I'm this deep into it. It sucked me in somehow. Bought it, read the whole book one, which is like 430 something pages. Read that in like 2 weeks, maybe less. I couldn't put it down. Book two, it's a little longer. It was a little busier. It took me a little longer to read it, but still, I read book one, book two. I should have checked. I don't even know if book three is available yet.
Oh, you better find it.
Well, that's the thing, because it's a very recent publication, and it's just now being translated. Mm-hmm. These translations are fresh. They're fresh. And they're interesting. The first book, I guess they're all going to be split up in these ways. The first book is very much about his dad and how his dad died, and he has to clean out the house where his grandmother still lives, his dad's mom. Mm-hmm. Dad was an alcoholic. She's an alcoholic. The house is just in fucking shambles. Half the book is him and his brother cleaning the house, getting ready for the funeral. They get to the end of book one. It stops before he even gets to the funeral. Never talks about the funeral. The whole thing is prepping for the funeral. Never gets to it. And then when you start book two...
Funeral's over.
Funeral? He's,
what funeral?
It's 10 years later. He's living in Sweden. He's married to his second wife, and he's got kids. And she's like, what the fuck? And then book two is all about like his love life. and the first girl that he was, like, his first real serious relationship, and then the girl he ended up leaving her for on a whim, mm-hmm. weirdly, and then he got married and a couple of kids, and it's all about the relationship side. So the first one is, like, his family stuff and a lot of ruminating on death. This one's a lot about love and life, and then also some death. And it's just, the way this guy writes is intense, because it's, like, he told this one story in book one. He just all of a sudden breaks into this story about how he was he had to get beer for an underage party, a New Year's Eve party, but he had to, like, leave the beer at the side of the road, and he was, like, running through town. 25 fucking pages describing
a beer story.
A beer run story. And it was fucking fascinating. I was like, this is so good. Let me see if I can find a random. Yeah, I'm just going to go. I'm going to flip through it, and then you give me a stop, and then I'll just read some, see how it translates.
Stop.
All right, here we go. Page 195. One evening, sitting on the grass drinking and chatting with everyone, he told us about an interview he had with Sven Jarvel for Vagant, how everything had opened up the evening they spoke, how precise everything that was said had been, and how in some way it had opened up the way for something extraordinary. Yeah, just some guy.
All right.
There's one part where he'll go into a shop and he'll describe, like, taking the Coke off the shelf. He'll put it on the counter. Store clerk's like, 124 kroner. I pulled the kroner out of my pocket. I smoothed out the bill and I handed it to him. He hands me my change. It's like the most
basic thing.
But then it's like, oh, how is this all so compelling? It's just because it's an autobiography, maybe? Because we're getting... This guy's really... He really opens up. He gets very personal. He doesn't seem to be holding anything back. I actually read an interview with him after I read book one, where he talked about how some of his family members won't talk to him anymore because mm-hmm. of some of the things that he...
Has put in there.
Or that he's written about other people and he's put in the books. Very recently, they just... The whole Pulitzer Prize giveaway thing for the year, you know? They did the Pulitzer for the literature. And I remember seeing on Twitter a few people popping up here and there how it was a travesty that this dude didn't get the Pulitzer for My Struggle. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because... Right around that time was when I was in book two. He's having this 40-page conversation with a fellow writer about each other. They're just bullshitting about each other. And at one point, he talks about how, oh, it would just be the worst thing to win a Pulitzer for writing. I would hate it. And then he talks for, like, very lengthily about why it would be the worst thing ever. And at the same time, I'm reading on Twitter how he's like, he didn't win it, and people were pissed about it.
So weird.
Yeah. He may not like it, but we'll like it for him. So I read book one and book two. They're both great. I can't wait to read book three. Of My Struggle, Carl Ove Knausgård. I recommend it very highly. And then I read, talk about another set of books. Last time I talked about Reading the Strain,
mm-hmm.
I read book one. Shortly after that, I read, which one is which? I think The Fall is book two.
Yeah.
And then The Night Eternal is book three.
Mm-hmm.
And I read them, like,
back to back?
Back to back, 2 weeks, like within 2 weeks. Because it's. They're kind of long. I mean, this one is 430 pages. Book three is 530 pages. But they're simple reading. It's not... We're not talking fucking Norwegian autobiography literature here, or, you know. It's Chuck...
Or the Iliad or the Odyssey.
Right. Those Greek hacks. It's Chuck Hogan. The guy writes pulp. Guillermo del Toro story, and it's all good stuff. It's vampires, it's fun, but now that the show is on, we've watched season one, there's a lot of details I'm not going to get into with the books, but they're good. I'm looking forward to seeing how they're translated. Apparently, season two and three is going to be book two, and then four and five is going to be book three.
So we got at least another four seasons.
No, they said it's going to be a five-season show.
So yeah, we got four more seasons.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes, that's what you meant.
Yes.
I apologize. That is correct.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
But, I mean... You know, if you like easy reading, vampire stuff. I'm not even that much into vampire stuff. I love I Am Legend.
And Twilight. I know you've got those Twilight books.
Well, I mean...
I saw them.
You saw the one that... With all the
I saw it.
It's all highlighted.
I know.
I had the notes in the margins.
Yeah. And you I have got this little sticky pads in there.
I have this pretty awesome theory, if I can't even fake a theory about
it. I had no idea you were Team Edward.
Dude, you can't be Team Jacob. He's the worst. Team Jacob is the fucking... Not Team Jacob. Well, Team Jacob, yeah. By extension, because Jacob's the worst... So Team Jacob is worth. Dude, he's just hanging around waiting for them to break up or trying to sneak her
with
away.
With his shirt off.
Yeah, with his shirt off. Put the fucking shirt on, you weird wolf boy. No one likes you, and now you're in love with a baby?
Hey, if you say so.
Fuck Team Jacob. Fuck Team Jacob. I'm Team Don DeLillo. You ever see Cosmopolis?
No.
You ever see that one? I don't think it's on the Netflix anymore. Written by Don DeLillo. Don DeLillo. Don DeLillo.
DeLillo.
How would you say that last name?
DeLillo.
DeLillo. That sounds right. Don DeLillo. He wrote this. This is supposed to be one of his best. I've never actually read any Don DeLillo. This is supposed to be like a the seminal book crop. Of his. Yeah, White Noise, award winning. He wrote it in like 80 something, but it can still very easily, 84 he wrote it. But you know, yeah, you add a couple references to the internet, a cell phone or two, it's easily could be like up to date, mm-hmm. you know. And it's about, it's a family comedy, black comedy drama. There's an explosion in this town of like chemicals up in the air.
Sweet.
So everyone freaks out and they go on the run. The whole town like evacuates to go
and everybody
run.
Dies.
No. But the lead guy at one point
dies.
He has to get out of the car and he like breathes in
and he dies.
He shows up at like a FEMA, like Katrina type camp. And the health workers are set up on the side. And he's talking to them. They're doing shit on the computer. And he's like, well, yeah, were you exposed? Like, well, at one point, I had to step out of the car. I was out of the car for like 2 minutes. And the guy's like, uh-oh. And he put it in the computer. He's like, you're gonna die.
You're going
to
explode.
You're going to die. And he's like, oh, no. What am I going to do? He's like, well, that's the thing. We don't know how this chemical reacts with people. We know you're going to die. But it might happen in like 30 or 40 years. The guy's middle-aged already. It's like, might happen in 30 or 40 years from now.
Sweet.
But you are going to die from this one day. And then he's like, the rest of the book, he's like, I might die in 4 decades from now when I'm 80.
Hey, guess what?
Because of this stuff.
I might die in 4 decades from now when I'm 80, not from that stuff.
And then at the same time, his wife gets on these experimental pills that's supposed to suppress the fear part of your brain because she was afraid of dying for different reasons. And she was trying to suppress that.
Suppress the fear.
And she was taking these pills, but it really wasn't
working. I want some anti-fear pills. That sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome, but they don't really work. And then to get them, she has like, fuck it, dude, so...
I'm not sitting down with fucking a dude for pills.
And then like shit, then she told the husband. The husband's like, what do you have to fucking dude? Alright, it's cool. But then it's not cool.
Yeah, of course it's not cool.
And it's interesting. Now Don, how'd you say it again?
DeLillo.
Don DeLillo has a very specific writing style.
Well, can you not speak properly? What the fuck is going on here?
Well, I'm almost done with this porter. I chugged that Yingling when I got home.
Yeah.
To go with my
Napoxin. Normally that makes sodium. You a better talker.
The chugging of the Yingling does. But then the porter kind of gummed up the works, made me a little marble mouth. Marble mouthed. See that one, right? You know what? Let's try it again. It didn't work last time. Mm-mm. Never works for me, but here we go. We're gonna go random and see what happens. Drew, tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Page 187.
On a motherfucking. Oh. Appropriate, perhaps.
All right, let's see. Got a lot of dialogue here. I think it's the wife talking to the husband. It haunts me, Jack. I can't get it off my mind. I know I'm not supposed to experience such a fear so consciously and so steadily. What can I do? It's just there. That's why I was so quick to notice Mr. Gray's ad in the tabloid I was reading aloud. The headline hit home. Fear of death, it said. I think about it all the time. You're disappointed. I can tell. Mr. Gray is the guy who, shit, the fuck. To get the...
Yep.
Anyway, very interesting book. I'm gonna be reading some more DeLillo. DeLillo.
DeLillo.
DeLillo. Jello. He wrote Cosmopolis, the book as well. Which is so. I was gonna say if you saw the movie, you'd remember the way they were speaking and some of the dialogue they had. And it was kind of intense dialogue.
Like, same type of stuff.
Some of it gets pretty similar to that, but then some of it's also just, you know, goofy humor. I can almost see it being adapted by like a Wes Anderson type.
Okay.
He would pretty it up a bit with soap, so that'd be interesting. Yeah. So, that's what I read. I read the two Strange Siegel books, this White Noise, the two books 1 and 2 of 6 of my struggle, New Jim Crow. I'm now like 50 pages into Infinite Jest, and I'm afraid that might be a Gravity's Rainbow situation for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're just going to start it and then just stop and never get back?
I don't want to say I'm never going to go back.
But
I've gone
usually
back,
the case.
I've gone back to books. And then like, oh, that's why I put it down. Then I remember that's why. Maybe I'll put it down and go back to Gravity's Rainbow.
That maybe.
Because, you know, Infinite Jest books like this, literally this big, and it's a 1,000 pages. And the font is so tiny. compare that to Gravity's Rainbow, which is only... Look at this. This is nothing.
That's nothing.
This is like a quarter of the size of it's a mere 700 and... God damn, it's... Should I read something random from Gravity's Rainbow?
Sure, go for it, Chris.
Let's see.
The book you stopped reading.
Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Page 503. This will make no sense. Here we go. Right, before anyone could move, they leaped out and made a cordon around.
Can't even finish a sentence.
It gave me crazy names. I had to go like Russian names.
Oh no, not Russian.
It was like Zvedev. Yeah, so books. Books are cool. People read them, right?
Right. Okay. I like books.
That's what I'm saying. So I knew I had nothing. I knew I had Bill Cosby as a rapist, Ferguson, and books. And I'm out of stuff. So I did ask Drew to help me out. If he had anything you want to talk about. Maybe a little Dr. Drew's, the Doctor's In segment. Here we go. New segment on CCN. The Doctor's In. Dr. Drew. Here we go. You need a theme song. Theme song? Let's see. How about... I can get you a theme song. Wait.
You're going to give me a theme song real quick?
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. You ready?
Ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew is in the hizzy.
The hizzy.
Yeah, I don't know why that was.
Yeah, that was pretty awful.
That was bad.
So yeah, I'm just going to go through some stuff that I saw on the inner tubes.
Awesome.
That I thought was kind of interesting.
Awesome. All right. Yeah, what do you got? What interested you? What's on Drew's Hot 100?
Have you ever heard of Fightball, Chris?
Fightball?
Fightball. It's nowhere near as cool as you think it is.
Well, then I guess no, I have. Then no, I have not heard of Fightball.
All right. So what happens when you take a, like a warehouse space, right?
Uh-huh.
You put you put two basketball hoops and a cage around that, and then you put two people inside,
uh-huh,
and they face one-on-one in some street hoops. Apparently you call it Fightball.
So it's... MMA basketball.
Except for the fact that there's no actual fighting.
So you're not allowed to fight.
It's one-on-one basketball with trash talking and loose fouls.
So you can bump each other. So it's street ball in a cage.
Kind of. Even when they call fouls, it's not really foul shooting because the dude can kind of like get up in your face and like talk shit like you would see on like maybe an MTV show or something.
Really?
You know? And
is this a TV show?
No, this is not a TV show. This is the brainchild of some stupid asshole who is up in New York and he's doing this. Apparently there's some people who put some money into this. They're, you know, it's, I don't know. Someone's trying to reinvent the wheel here, I guarantee you they put a lot of money and thought into this.
It looks like
it looks like shit.
It does remind me, what was on Spike for half a season?
What, lingerie football?
No, but along those lines. Because
that was pretty awful too.
They did trampoline basketball. Do you remember that?
No.
The whole court was like a bunch of tramps together. It's like bounce from trampoline to trampoline to play. They actually tried to play games.
I bet you there's a lot of traveling going on.
There was no such thing as traveling. It was just, there's no bouncing the ball. There's bouncing of people. And that's, it did not last on TV very long. The roller derby they had, I think this might have been when Spike was TNN, actually.
Okay.
Might have even been that far back. The roller derby show they had on TNN lasted longer than the trample ball. Tramp basketball. Fight ball sounds horrible.
Yep, but it exists and it's out there.
Right.
And
that's good to know. These are the type of people that we need to be aware of.
It's stupid.
Make sure they when we see them, we cross the other side of the street.
Russia launched a satellite last week.
Without it blowing up?
It didn't explode.
Good for them.
And nobody quite knows exactly what it is.
Oh, it's one of those.
Or why they put it up there. There's a mysterious satellite that Russia's put up there earlier this year. It was part of a launch of three communication satellites. But it's doing some weird stuff. It's been observed making highly precise maneuvers across the skies, such as gliding towards other Russian satellites and rendezvousing with remnants of the stage that launched it. These complex movements prompted the U.S. to reclassify the object as a satellite, but no one knows what it's really doing.
Oh, wow.
And the only reason why people are freaked out by this is because in the 90s, after the Soviet Union collapsed, Russia tried to put up space weapons of sorts, people thought that they were.
Yeah.
And now people are thinking that maybe they finally fucking did it.
Maybe they're trying it again.
Yeah.
Star Wars. Well, it was Reagan's thing in the
80s. That was Reagan's thing in the 80s, yeah.
Was defense from the sky. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah, it only makes sense. In 2001, A Space Odyssey, the match cut, when it goes from the ape throwing the bone up in the air, right?
Yeah.
And then when it's showed falling back down in slow motion, and then it cuts to a jump cut. Millennia later, now it's a satellite.
Yes.
That was actually, it's not specified in the movie, but it is what it is in the script and in the book. That's a weapons satellite. That's for launching nukes from space onto Earth.
Yeah, they don't know if it's, you know, nukes or lasers or maybe some sort of guidance system for something more
fucking super
awful.
Super laser from a satellite. That's straight up Under Siege 2, Dark Territory.
Yeah, yeah.
Starring Katherine Heigl and Morris Chestnut. Mm-hmm. And also Steven Seagal.
Speaking of lasers and movies.
Laser movies? On your eyeballs. They're going to project movies onto your eyeballs with lasers. Sign me the fuck up.
There is a guy over in the UK. Post a video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You won't.
Banksy.
It's DIY. This guy did it himself. He won't show the plans. He won't show this. He won't show that because it's kind of dangerous.
Okay.
But, you know how James Bond's always had that, that little laser watch?
Oh, yeah.
Motherfucker made one.
He made one that cuts things? Like, burns stuff?
It burns,
does it make a little black dot with some smoke?
If it shoots at a match, it'll take about 2 seconds for the match to actual light.
Interesting.
But, yeah, it burns little holes in things. You know, I'm sure it may or may not burn through a twist tie, but more than likely you're just going to burn the shit out of yourself first.
Yeah, right. Trying to get yourself.
The laser watch only lasts for about 5 to 10 minutes until it runs out of battery life.
Sure.
But there's a video on YouTube. Just look up Bond-inspired laser watch.
Bond-inspired laser watch.
And you can see all the magic.
Maybe we can use Bond-inspired laser watch to shoot the satellite out of the sky. Oh my god, I imagine it to be red.
Nope, it's blue.
It's got to be blue. Hey, good side of the force.
Anyway, so yeah.
So he's not Sith.
Laser watch.
That's pretty cool.
So we got another sign of the apocalypse, Chris. An apocalypse that this world has already had.
Huh? Your confusing premise has intrigued me. Please tell me more.
The plague is back.
Oh, yeah, I heard about the plague.
It's been running around rural Madagascar for, you know, decades. It's just kind of one of those things that never kind of died over there.
Well,
and now two people in the capital have contracted it and have died from it.
Yeah. One person a year gets a plague in America.
Yeah.
I don't think they always die from it.
No.
But, I mean, plagues in America, it's just, we got hospitals.
Madagascar is spreading.
Yeah, is it? That's not good.
Welcome to the Black Death.
That's cool.
It's back.
That's cool. You
know,
I mean,
eight centuries later, you know, it's just still running around killing people.
It is a pretty persistent bugger now, yeah, isn't it? That's pretty impressive, actually, when you think about it. You know who should be worried about that shit? England. They were decimated by that.
Any sort of
bad stuff.
Large metropolitan area should be scared shitless about the plague.
Yeah, they should. They should.
Scared absolutely shitless, because once it starts spreading, it's the original.
It's the plague.
You know, it's the original plague.
It's the plague.
We call
other things plagues.
No, this is the plague.
The plague.
The one, the only, the Black Death.
The Black Death. Sorry, Sean Bean, who dies.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, Sean Bean dies. Is it a spoiler when Sean Bean dies? Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And finally, people have heard of turduckens, right?
Oh, I know where you're going with this. I've seen this horrible picture.
have you seen the picture of the turkey?
I've seen the horrible. It's terrible. It's terrifying looking. Oh, that's so gross. Ugh, get it away. Get out of my face.
What happens when you take a turkey, stuff it with an octopus, wrap it in bacon, and stick some crab legs on it?
Ugh.
You get the turkey. The turducken has been a fad that's been around for a while. Some crazy asshole somewhere a while ago looks like last year made a turkey where it looks like Cthulhu is coming out of a turkey's ass.
It looks horrible.
And it
has the thing like spider legs that it walks around with.
Yep. It's funny. It's all over the internet, I don't think I'd ever eat it. It looks awful.
Oh god, it looks so disgusting.
And that octopus looks way overcooked. That's all I'm saying. But it exists and it's out there, much like
the Cthulhu.
Some of the other things that I've talked about, they're just kind of there.
All hail Cthulhu.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when Cthulhu comes, I would like to be spared a horrible death.
Well, make a turkey for him.
No, don't do it. I don't even want to touch it. He may be offended by that. You're like, you cooked our octopus brethren? Tentacles.
Inside of a turkey, yes, I did.
Inside of a turkey. Well, never mind.
I made some octopi stuffing.
In the name of Shigoth, you shall live.
Yes.
So that was
that's all I had.
That was like the doctor.
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the doctor's out.
The doctor has left the building. Now we're mixing up our thing.
Yeah, it's all right. The doctor's in. Elvis is left the building. Whatever.
So you know, it's pretty funny, interesting in a sort of not. It's not interesting way, but sort of.
So what?
Well, okay. So
what you're saying is you want to bring something up, but it's not so interesting.
Well, it depends on who might think it. Some people will think it. Some people won't. We'll end the show with these things. Two bits here we're going to end the show with. Movie related. Like I said, end up talking about these here. Like a week ago, a Jurassic World website popped up, and a countdown hit the screen, and it was like 9 days, something, whatever. And it was counting down to Thursday at 9 p.m.
Okay.
And there was a big plan to release, for the first time ever, the Jurassic World trailer Thursday at 9 p.m. simultaneously on the internet. And it was going to play like the first 9 o'clock commercial break during NFL football.
Supposed to.
It was supposed to because it was the game's on NBC. Okay. You know, movies being put up by Universal. Trailer came out today.
Yes,
they put it out. The director Colin Trevorrow, he tweeted something like, "Due to circumstances beyond my control, we will be releasing the trailer in." And then he tweeted like 3...2...1, and then here's the link.
Yeah.
So if something happened, I think there was a suspected leak, or they were afraid it was going to get out early somehow, and they had to get ahead of it. That happened to The Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes.
Someone leaked the trailer for that, and then Marvel like turned around within 24 hours.
It was like, here it is.
Here it is. Here's a high-res, like good-looking version of the trailer instead of this bullshit pirated version. And then they tried, in public, they tried to act like it was cool. Like, on the Marvel Twitter account, they tweeted, "Damn you, Hydra." You know, like, they're trying to be cool about it. I read it. Back behind the scenes, Marvel and Disney, they're
flipping out.
They are burning villages looking for the person who fucking leaked that shit. They are so pissed off.
Yeah.
So pissed. Jurassic World, Universal, they had to get ahead of it. Apparently it was happening. They put it out today. You haven't seen the...
I have. I saw it.
Oh, you watched it?
Yeah. I watched it.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was pretty good.
It's a pretty good little trailer.
I mean... This whole,
what's
I mean, what's it's
that?
it's one thing, you know. Okay, so the park's there,
yeah,
and it's running
on Isla Nublar. InGen is in business, baby.
And I get it. It's cool, and it's gonna be awesome to see that. But this whole, we've created a new dinosaur thing.
Apparently, that's a big hook. Yeah, apparently that's a big thing. I saw online a couple weeks ago. And this happens a lot with big movies. Characters get their debut via the toys that come out. And there's like toy shows and stuff. They release pictures of the toys. And that's the first thing you actually get to see of a movie. They're doing a Jurassic World Lego set.
Of course they are.
And there's a Lego version of the huge genetically altered T-Rex that they allude to.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I can remember... That I actually think is going to look pretty cool. It's mostly white.
Okay.
And it's got red eyes.
And that's going to be creepy as hell.
That's going to be fucking creepy, dude. And obviously, it's going to be gigantic.
I mean, Chris,
and apparently smart.
Chris Pratt looks like, you know, a cool...
I think...
Badass.
He looks okay. I think he still looks like he walked in on the set of another movie. He's like, well, now I'm in Jurassic Park. What's going on, man? I'm Chris Pratt.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
good for him.
But he's all buff now.
Good for him. Yeah.
He's buff
still,
and rugged.
He's still Guardians buff.
Exactly.
He did that right after Guardians.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's still Guardians buff. He's got that rugged thing going. He's like, yes, I will save you all from dinosaurs
as I
ride my motorcycle with a pack of velociraptors.
Yeah, and so they're working with him. They got to be more genetically altered raptors than that they can control somehow.
Either that or maybe the... Maybe they're all running away from the same thing.
They're just straight up running away from the same thing. Because they show in the trailer, like, they open up five gates. And, like, he gets on a motorcycle, they open up gates, and then they all go out at the same time.
Well, doesn't so all it really shows is five gates opening, and then it's him on a motorcycle, and there happened to be a pack of raptors around him.
Trailers are fucking very tricky like that. You're right. You're correct.
Trust me. I took a video editing course. We were in said course. My entire class
visual shorthand and stuff like that, how to get across.
Well, no, we were all given the same exact footage. And we were just told to make something.
I've heard about stuff like that, yeah.
And every single person made something completely. Some of them were funny, some of them were sad, yeah. Some of them were up, some of them were down, some of them had to do with completely different things.
It's the same footage, though.
But it's all the same footage.
That's true.
You can do anything with editing.
The power of the edit. That's very true. Well, yeah, maybe they tricked us, but yeah, geez, on a motorcycle. Now, I gotta say, the movie has come out in June 2015. They're gonna be rendering the effects for the movie
forever
up until like May 30th.
Yeah,
you know. That being said, the effects look incomplete in the trailer. It looks like, you know, here are a bunch of effects that look as close to done as possible. It still looks like the same CG from the 94 Jurassic Park. The same level of quality.
Looks a little better.
It still looks like obviously CG. Even when they roll up to the Jurassic World gates, I was like, whoa, those are some fucking CGS gates.
Yeah, they are.
Those are some.
And when they open up to that CGS world, that CGS monorail.
It's like, man, this is a lot of digital effectory going on. You know, people forget about the first Jurassic Park. There was like only like 700-800 computer effects in that movie. It was still a lot of, like, there's a huge animatronic T-Rex that they were manipulating on a set and shit like that. People forget that.
I want a giant animatronic T-Rex.
Oh, just hanging out, and then you can, like, grab the remote control and make it go like, yeah. You know what I want? I want one of those awesome, crazy dinosaur suits that they have at, like, museum exhibits and shit, where you don't even notice the guy's legs.
Oh, yeah.
And then he can move the head around and everything. Those things are fucking sweet. I'll put on some shitty black leotards if I get to run around with that thing and fucking scare kids. Oh, if I could go to the mall and walk around the mall and pretend to be a dinosaur, that'd be awesome. I'd have such a good time.
We'll get you a Velociraptor costume, Chris.
Someone get me one of these awesome. It's gotta be an awesome one. I don't want one like here's a Walmart $10 play school fucking. Give me a real one of those things. I'll dino that shit up. I'll run around like
a madman. I'll videotape it. We can all laugh together on the internet.
We can all laugh together, both with me and at me. It would be great.
Nah, mostly just at.
I think the Jurassic World, I think it's going to be good. Did you ever see Safety Not Guaranteed?
Yes.
It's weird how that director made that movie, and now he's going to Jurassic World. That's a big leap.
Power of Hollywood.
Power of Hollywood. Power of...
He must have blown the right dude.
Wouldn't that be Spielberg? Maybe Katzenberg? Geffen?
If anyone's maybe all three.
If anyone's getting blown in that trio.
Maybe it was a gang blow.
It's David Geffen. Ooh. The ultimate DreamWorks trio. They called that the DreamWorks Sunday. Ugh. And then also, I'm just going to go ahead and bring this up now at the very end of this show instead of waiting for the CinemaCrest episode so this weekend, which you can check out episode 99 this weekend. Oh, my God. That's a lot of episodes. Apocalypse. Villain for X-Men.
Yes.
He's been cast.
As?
Oh, I mean, the actor.
Yes.
Yes.
Who?
Would you like to take any guess? I'll give you some hints. He is relatively new, has done some smaller movies, but he's gearing up to be in one of the biggest movies very soon. You've seen him in at least three movies, if not four.
Who is it?
Oscar Isaac. Isaacs? Oscar Isaac.
What?
Yes. Little old Oscar Isaac.
Is he the voice of Apocalypse, I guess?
I don't know. They haven't said if he's going mocap like James Spader with Ultron or what they're doing. They haven't said. But that little fucker, who I'm a fan of, I really like Oscar Isaac.
I mean, we'll see.
He's going to be fucking Apocalypse. He's not going to be fucking Apocalypse. He's going to be Apocalypse. That's a big fucking deal. And that's 2032. That's 2016, the end of 2015. Before we even see that, we're going to see him in a very big role in Star Wars The Force Awakens. Which, now this is fucking weird. We're getting a show with this. Disney announced this weekend, starting on Friday, they are going to put the Star Wars Force Awakens teaser trailer, an 88-second teaser trailer, mm-hmm. in select theaters around the country.
Yes.
And the trailer was going to play in front of every single movie, every showing of the day.
Okay.
So no matter what movie you went and saw.
So it was just the theaters.
The theater itself was going to have a trailer for everything all weekend. Only 30 theaters in the entire country.
Not even one in every state.
Not even one in every goddamn state. A couple states got multiple theaters.
Jerk-offs.
Florida, one theater. You ready? Miami.
Of course.
Goddamn Miami. So you want to drive 4 hours to see 88 seconds of Star Wars, of J.J. Abrams Star Wars?
No.
No.
I will wait till it gets on the internet.
That's what I was saying. I was like, first off, why the big hoopla over a teaser trailer? First off, it's a commercial. It's marketing. And yeah, trailers can be cool and fun and cool to watch.
But by the end of the week, it's going to be on every fucking television.
It's going to be everywhere. In 6 months, we're going to be seeing the trailers, a full trailer in all front day, of every, every day. Movie. In 12 months, we're going to be seeing multiple Star trailers. Wars commercials on TV on every fucking channel. Because Disney, ABC, they own goddamn everything.
So I need to get my my Star Wars limited edition Big Mac so I can get my Star Wars... Good. Limited edition, whatever that I get from Pepsi.
Yeah. Pepsi Max. May the Force be with you. May the Max be with you. NutraSweet sounds good to me.
I can get some Yoda Doritos.
Yoda Doritos. I can drink beer from
the flavor
my,
is strong with this one.
From
yes.
my Han Solo cup. Right. What else is there? What else can we pun? Fantastic. Punnery? More punnery! Yes, no. Well, let me see if I just go over here real quick. That's somewhere here. Anyway, yeah, fuck it. Who gives a shit? Well, that's it. We're out of here. We're done. Thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Remember to email us at cinemacrustpizza@gmail.com. We love the feedback. Thank you, Drew.
You're welcome, Chris.
For the delicious... vanilla stout porter, what was it?
Something like that. It's a Snowdrift vanilla porter.
Snowdrift vanilla porter from Lightning Kugel. Good stuff. Fueled the flames of our discourse. Something like that. I don't know. All right. I'm hungry.